Thanks, Dennis. Thanks for helping out. I need your help, too. If you have to fall asleep, don't snore. Because it's late. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christmas bothered Jake Kennedy. It wasn't Christmas itself, it's what Christmas seemed to have morphed into for his children. He held Christmas precious in terms of this gift from God, the celebration of the birth of Jesus, and it had turned into just this gift-getting and giving frenzy. His daughter was two, and he was complaining to his wife, Sparky, about it. Yes, Sparky. And, because you can't make this stuff up. And they decided that they were going to narrow the scope of the gifts for the kids each year. Two gifts per kid. That was it. To try to really get the focus on what it was supposed to be. Well, it didn't work. You got other family, got other friends. They give gifts. Blows the whole thing out of the water. So then he began to think a little bit more about what it was that he might be able to do then to kind of alter the whole family scheme of what Christmas is about. And so at his office, he put out one of those used water cooler jugs for change for the homeless. And the idea was a simple one. He was going to raise money. And he was going to recreate for homeless families the Christmas experience that he had grown up with. Presents, big meal, nice meal, lots of people. So one bottle gets filled, the next bottle is placed out, and soon he gets to the end of the year and he has enough money together that he throws a Christmas celebration for 100 homeless people. Always focused on kids and their families. That was in 1989. Now what takes place in Boston, the Sunday before every Christmas, is that very thing on steroids. Last year, Jake and Sparky Kennedy put together a Christmas party that fed and entertained and gave gifts to over 25,000 children and their families. There were 10,000 homeless families that he gathered together on that Sunday. They were picked up in buses. They were driven to the convention center in Boston, where there was a veritable winter wonderland that had been put forth. Not only did they have the banquet with cloth-covered tables and the traditional Christmas meal, but they had areas where there was counseling, places where the mothers could get pedicures, places where the kids could play and do all kinds of different things. They had artificial snow for snowball fights. Santa Claus was, of course, there. And they had presents for every child that was there. Not just an arbitrary present, but a present that that child had requested through a system that they had developed. They estimated that it was somewhere around $4 million in goods and services that were donated. So they could put Christ back in Christmas. There's this whole weird, edgy thing going on about different companies doing happy holidays as opposed to Merry Christmas, and some people with high blood pressure get their eyes rolling around. I'm going to say keep Christ and Christmas, Merry Christmas. I'm not going to say happy holidays. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we say. That doesn't make a world of difference. Doesn't make a bit of difference. Whether I say happy holidays or Merry Christmas to you, if I say Merry Christmas, you say, well, he must be a Christian, maybe. Or maybe he just nominally celebrates the holiday. If he says happy holidays, well, I don't have any idea what he is. Maybe he's celebrating Festivus. But it doesn't make any difference in the world. It might get somebody irritated if you don't say Merry Christmas, but it doesn't change a thing. If we're so worried about putting Christ in Christmas and making sure that Christ remains in Christmas, then it's not a happy holiday thing. It seems to me that we should be making sure that we put Christ in Christian and keep it there. That the focus of what we're doing, not only this time of year, but throughout the year, is one where we lead our lives in a manner that follows that Christ child in terms of what He has laid out for us, in terms of what our lives are supposed to be. This isn't some kind of Billy Bobby Talladega Night sort of thing where we pray to 8-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus. This is a thing where we follow full-grown on the cross, dying Jesus, who demands of us to do things with our lives, to make differences in other people's lives, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to house the homeless, to care for the poor and the indigent, to look after those people who can't look after themselves, no matter what the circumstances of their lives are. I think Jake Kennedy got it. He understood the call of keeping Christ in Christmas and in Christian by not just saying the right words, doing the right things, taking those things that we've been blessed with, the things that can make for such a grand, grand day, and taking some of that time and some of that energy and some of that expense and using it for the betterment of others. Buying presents for others in somebody else's name. Looking after the poor, looking after the hungry, looking after the homeless. The story, Joseph and Mary and Jesus. This is a story of people who need help and care and love. They weren't in the birthing wing somewhere. They weren't even in somebody's bedroom. They were giving birth in a barn, in probably less than clean conditions, with apparently nobody there to help them. And of course, it's a great story because we know that God would make sure that God's Son's going to have everything fine, and the shepherds come up and make this gorgeous story in terms of what we understand Jesus to be. But this is a story of a family of refugees traveling to a strange place, enduring difficult times. You see, I don't mean to bring us down. I love Christmas. But this is a gift that we need to use. This is one of the greatest gifts we have as Christians and even as a society, because this is the gift of Christmas that seems to take everything and turn it around and make it right, that everybody seems to be a little bit kinder, everybody seems to be a little bit more tolerant, even in the midst of shopping. There's a certain kindness and generosity that takes place this time of year that doesn't exist any other time of year. And I applaud that, but that needs to be the form and the shape of our lives throughout the year. Not just focused on having this big woohoo celebration, but focused on why God has placed us here and why God has given us this gift of His Son. You see, there's a purpose behind all of those things for us. We're not here to serve ourselves. God has placed us here so we might serve one another. And God has given us this gift of a servant king in the form of 8-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus, whom we worship and pray and adore. But the example that has been shown for us as that baby grows is one that challenges the very core and nature of who we are, challenges us not to be looking inwardly at what we might get out of life, but challenges us to look outwardly to see what it is that we might give and how we might grow. And as we celebrate this gift that God has given us, the best way we can celebrate is to learn each and every day about how we might do it just a little bit better, just a little bit different, to be a little closer to what that baby became, to be a little bit closer to be the person that God asks us to be. Not easy. God never said it would be. But it is an opportunity. It is an opportunity to grow into the children that God has asked us to be. Celebrating the gift of His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A gift that said that God had given everything that God had to give. For our sake. For our salvation. And for an example of life and faith. Be able to celebrate the gifts that God has given us. Not individually, but collectively. Somewhere along the line, Jake Kennedy got that message. And he shaped his life to be able to give this particular day to people he encounters. The challenge for us is to figure out where it is that we might do our thing, to be God's representative, and to make sure that we make that claim, that we make it as truly a brother and sister in Christ. Amen.